Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, some Incredibles news. Lord of the Rings is coming to Amazon, whether we want it or not. I may have found a decent X-Men movie, but first and foremost, happy birthday, Todd.
Ah, thank you.
I realize it was yesterday, but you know,
it was yesterday.
We weren't doing the show then.
No, we weren't.
Wanted to share with you some little things. I found some people that you share a birthday with.
I know some people I share a birthday with, but please.
Like Owen Wilson, who I know is someone that you've heard of. Linda Evans, which I thought was interesting. And that I briefly interesting. Confused with Linda Carter and thought, ooh, you share a birthday with Wonder Woman.
That would be cool.
And that's wrong.
That's wrong.
David Ortiz, though.
I did not know that. That's excellent.
You and Big Poppy.
Me and Big Poppy. Hanging.
Kirk Hammond of Metallica.
Nice. I'll take that.
That's cool. Stephen Moffat from Doctor Who.
I'll take that. A showrunner. The showrunner.
Unfortunately, you also share one with Megyn Kelly.
Huh. Okay. Well, those are four I did not know. Okay. The one I'll add because it's the exact same birthday is Warren Moon.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, which is cool. But Big Poppy, that's a pretty sweet list. I'll take that, yeah, except for the last one. I'll even take the last one.
No, you're going to have to make up for the last one by telling us about the movie you went to go see.
Okay, I'll make up for the last one by talking about the movie I went to go see. It featured a woman of considerable power, not unlike Megyn Kelly, except more powerful. Yes, I saw Justice League, which we'll talk about the box office in a bit. If you're one of those people who looks at what critics say, by far the prevalent comment, as our show friend and practically our only friend of the show, Mr. Ted, as Ted Hicks said, it's a beautiful mess. And you see that comment or something very similar to that in almost all the comments. I've read a lot of positive reviews of it. And all of them say, boy, this movie is really flawed and boy, it really has problems, but it's still a lot of fun. And
that's the important thing.
It is a lot of fun. It has a lot of problems with it. But compared to the train wreck of Batman v Superman, it fixes a lot of those problems. I have a feeling.
I don't think it was a complete train wreck. It was just a minor derailment.
Oh, I thought it was a god-awful train wreck. But Wonder Woman got them back on the rails. This movie is not as good as she physically picked up the train and placed it on the tracks and shoved it and got it going to about 80 miles an hour. They hit the brakes on. They pumped the brakes a lot on this one to continue the god-awful metaphor. But, you know, it starts off very early in the film. Wonder Woman is standing high above the city, surveying everything, just looking for trouble, I guess.
And doing the Batman thing?
She's doing the Batman thing. She's not crouching, though. She's standing because she stands because she's – and she should be standing.
Well, she's wearing a skirt.
Yeah, she shouldn't be crouching. Yeah, that would be kind of bad. But she's standing on this gigantic, almost maybe three-quarter size thing, Statue of Liberty thing, but it's a Statue of Justice, blind justice, you know. She's standing on the arm holding the balance. And it's like, why? I mean, we get the symbolism. That's what I was trying to say.
Which
we
would
get
be symmetry. Symbolism and imagery.
Symmetry. We get the symmetry. New word. Yay. Thanks for hitting us over the head with it. We get it. You know, she represents justice. Thanks. Why stand there? I mean, it's stupid. Why would you fly? Oh, I'm going to jump up there or fly up there, whichever the heck she does. I don't think they've really established what she does. It's asinine. And somehow she realizes, oh, there's a bank robbery going on. So then she goes and foils the bank robbery. But the movie has a lot of things like that, which are just pounding you with it, which is dumb.
If you could jump up and just stand on one of the arms of the Statue of Liberty, wouldn't you?
No, I would go on top of a really tall building so I could see more. But that's just me. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the flaws first so I can go back to the positive things. Because overall, there's more to like than dislike in this movie. So let me get the bad stuff out of the way. Cyborg, blah. I don't really care for the character to begin with, so that's part of it. They don't really do a lot with the character in here because he's just kind of a blank. And he's, to me, he always been kind of a blank. So it's not that they failed the character at all. It's just a bad choice. Martian Manhunter, hello, who's only been around in the team
1963.
For a few decades, like the entire length of the existence of the team. Maybe you should have used him. Much more interesting character, the fish out of water thing, but that's okay. Speaking of fish out of water, Aquaman, not really down with the hey bro dude version that they've done.
I told you that in the trailers.
Yes, you did, and you're absolutely correct. Because it's not just a moment, that's the character, basically. And I get, because they're trying to lighten him up, they're trying to make him cool and relevant, but that was like cool and relevant maybe 30 years ago. But it's such a stiff character, the perception of Aquaman. Aquaman is a cool character, but most people don't realize that because it's just, he talks to fish, which they bring that up in the film, which that's a very good part. They mention it a little bit of that way, and that's very smart that they're just throwing it out there. But they went so overboard. Basically, it's like, gee, we wish we could have gotten The Rock, but we already signed him to play Black Adam, so we're going to get the low-rent version, who is Jason Momoa, who has some of the charisma, but he's like a low wattage version, I guess I'll put it that way. I like Jason Momoa, but he's not The Rock.
No,
and
he's
it's
not.
Basically what they tried to do, and it just, he's okay. It's not that he doesn't work. He's fine with what he's given, but he's not given much. That's the problem. Affleck is, he's fine as Batman. He only has a few good things to do other than the typical Batman stuff. Those few good moments, though, he's excellent because he's a very good actor. Gal Gadot is she's terrific. The Flash, can't even think of the name of the guy who plays the Flash. Ezra Miller, thank you. I don't really care.
Yeah,
he does a really good job, but I don't like what they did with the character because he's not any version of Barry Allen anybody's seen, so it doesn't really make sense. But here's the thing, they have a template, a very rich template. They actually have two. They have 60 odd years worth of comics, and they also have Justice League, the animated version, Justice League Unlimited,
which was awesome.
And exactly, and standalone movies like Flashpoint Paradox, which we've mentioned several times, and Justice League War and Justice League Doom. Those two movies are much, much better than this movie. That's the problem with this movie, is you can't go into this film without expectations. Like, as we've said several times, Fantastic Four, for instance, if this had just been a standalone thing and no one knew anything about the characters beforehand, they just called them something different, it'd be a better film. Well, you can't do that with Justice League, because if you don't know these characters, why would you go to the movie? You wouldn't. And so they've screwed up the portrayal of Aquaman. They've screwed up the portrayal, not terribly, but that's not Aquaman. It is now, for unfortunately,
a generation.
Yeah. And that's not The Flash, but it is now.
I think there's enough Flash TV series, which is getting it closer to the character to help with that one. But
yeah, but it's just, why go on this different offshoot? And as Ted asked me, because he hadn't seen the film yet, and I saw it Friday, and Ted saw it the next day, and he texted me and said, Ted's getting more play here than Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because Ted is a more upright hero for justice. He just,
ouch.
I'm just saying.
Well, he also listens to the show, which helps.
Which helps. If Ezra Miller listens, Ezra will mention you more often.
Yeah.
And again, he's really good. It's just, I don't like how they wrote the character. He plays the character as written terrifically. He's very good in the film. Can you tell which parts were Snyder and which parts were Whedon? And I said, I'm assuming any part that's funny is Whedon. And any part and any part that's heavy-handed is Snyder. And and one more problem is the villain.
Steppenwolf.
I'm assuming you had heard of Steppenwolf, and I'm not talking about the band, because if they had fought the band, God, that would be awesome. Great. That would have been great. I would have loved that movie.
I was vaguely aware of Steppenwolf. I would not say familiar with.
And how big a fan of comics and DC comics are you, sir? On a scale of 1 to 10.
Somewhere around a 7.
Okay.
Because I don't like to go that far on any scale.
So finally, after 60 odd years, there's a Justice League movie. And who do they pick for the villain? Someone that most fans of DC Comics are vaguely aware of.
Now, well, here's the thing. I actually have, the DC Comics Encyclopedia, which is a huge book filled with phlegm, just like my throat. No. it's a huge book, and very rarely do characters get a half page.
Right.
Or anything like that. Batman has 4 pages. Superman has 4 pages.
Yes,
I think Wonder Woman and everyone else is regular. The entirety of the Green Lantern Corps has 4 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Darkseid only has half a page. Okay, to give you an idea, because Darkseid being the big bad.
Right.
Steppenwolf has a full page.
Why would Steppenwolf have a full page?
Because I'm thinking is back in like the 60s and stuff, Steppenwolf was a bigger thing than he is now. I think they have just shifted priorities from Steppenwolf, who we eventually find out is a lackey of Darkseid. Shifting everything from Steppenwolf to Darkseid. So back in the what they should have started off with was Starro, who is the bad guy in the first Justice League comic anyway.
They should have started with Starro, exactly. And they could have changed the portrayal, because I get that a giant starfish would be kind of like, that seems a little off.
Everyone would go, really?
Yeah. That's cool. That's understandable. But so you're saying that this is actually a love letter to the true long-term fans, and maybe it really is.
Which I guess it is.
If that was their intention, that's cool, but they should have done a better job with Steppenwolf, because it's such a generic big bad. He has an axe, and he's really, really powerful, and no one can beat him. Okay.
Thanks.
I've never heard of this one before. I mean, Steppenwolf is such an awful, awful character that Steppenwolf really isn't the main person they have to fight. They fight a guest star, and I'll just leave it at that because I don't want to spoil it for someone who hasn't seen it, but they fight a guest star who turns out to be quite important in the film. And if you've been paying attention at all, I'm sure you probably know who the guest star is. And the Justice League has connections to the guest star. I'll just leave it at that.
Does he have a mustache?
He did.
Okay.
He did at one point, but you can't really see it in the movie, so there you go.
Okay.
So now, if you've been paying attention, you know exactly who we're talking about without spoiling it for those who weren't that into it.
If you don't know who we're talking about, you should have been listening to the show before now. Ha 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 ha.
Exactly. One of the best scenes, and now I'm going to switch over to the good parts, the good stuff, is Batman has a very, very introspective, interesting conversation with Alfred. And it's about, there's someone who has more humanity than Batman, and Batman thinks they need to turn to this person instead of him. And that's it's very insightful for that character, for a person who's been dispensing justice in his own way for 20 years in the context of the film, that he's lost his humanity if he ever had it, and he wants to turn to someone else instead. That's Joss Whedon. If that's Zack Snyder, I'd be shocked. I'm shocked. I guarantee you that's Joss Whedon's influence there.
Right.
Again, Affleck is excellent. Everyone does a really good job with what they're given, so I'll put it that way. One more problem. One of the characters has way too much power for this to be a effective team, because they don't really need the team, because this one person can handle Steppenwolf all by themselves. So the whole concept of, oh, it takes a team to do this, is like, it falls apart because it doesn't take a team in the film. So it's kind of like, yeah, I don't really understand why you played it this way, because they easily could have written this character to be less powerful, but they chose not to. So, okay, away from that.
Right.
Again, everyone in the movie is really good. It's a very entertaining film. If you don't think about it too much, it's more entertaining. And it's ultimately, it's a superhero movie, so it's a popcorn movie. That's fine. But, and I just can't get away from the fact that Justice League has been done better so many times by DC. Obviously, they have the rights, so no one else would be doing it. But,
well, picky.
So if you've watched any of the animated universe, you're not going to be thrilled with this movie. You might like it, because I enjoyed it. And like, I talked to my kids and I said, yeah, you should go see it. It's fun. It's like, just don't expect a whole lot. But compared to what they could have done, compared to what the path was until Wonder Woman came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a much better film than what it was headed for. It's fun. Definitely go see it. Ignore all the negative things I said about it. Well, don't ignore it. I mean, that's how I feel about it. And it happens to be true, too. But it is a fun movie. It's worth seeing. Now we can talk about the box office, because I'm a little surprised that the box office for it is not exactly terrific.
Well, it's not hideous, but it's, you know, it's falling short of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it's not even going to crack $100 million, which, again, considering what the expectations were. But again, they're kind of reaping what they sowed with the train wreck or the minor accident, however you want to view it, of Batman v Superman. They can't be really thrilled.
Probably not. I mean, they're looking at a $93 million opening, mm-hmm. which, you know, nothing to sneeze at. I'll be happy to take that.
Right.
If you guys are going to have as much of a problem with it. But then, you know, you just don't want it. Give it to me. I'll be happy to take it.
Yeah. But they were hoping for 120.
Yeah.
And there are reports that it cost as much as 300. And they'll turn a profit, because worldwide it's doing fairly well and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But, you know, you got to be kind of thinking, you know, they had to be expecting Star Wars numbers back when they first started thinking of this. And they're not going to come close to that.
No.
And it's a shame, because, as we've said, we've probably said this on at least every other show since we started this show.
Yeah.
All you had to do was remake one of your dozens of scripts you already had available. Just go to your catalog, the animated catalog. And
That's the thing today, is rebooting and rehashing. Here was a hint.
Yeah. It's just, I understand why they didn't do Flashpoint Paradox, because that's too far off the path. You haven't even established the characters, and you're doing alternates. You can't do that. But,
well, yeah, I mean, and if you look at the books, Flashpoint Paradox lasted like an entire year worth of comics, and it went into every single DC book, which, you know, they come out with 15 or so a week, and you were talking, you know, 52 weeks. Oh my God, that's what, 700 something comics. Let's cram it into a movie. No, you can't do that. It's not going to fit. So.
But one last thing I will say.
Yes.
Positive about the film.
Yay.
Go see it. Definitely go see it. But when the Blu-ray comes out, or the digital version, however you choose to consume your films at home, you'll be happy, because it will have lots of deleted scenes and extras, and there'll be the special edition, which will probably be 30 to 45 minutes longer. That will be a better movie. I guarantee you.
I can see that.
Because this is actually kind of a short movie, considering everything that's going on with it. And you can tell, wow, this would have been nice if they'd set this up. I'm sure, at least I hope to God, that they did set it up, but they cut it just for running time, because we need more showing so we can make more money, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I fully expect that it's going to be quite a bit better. That it'll be a little more fleshed out at that point. So don't wait for it. Go see it, because it's a fun movie. It's not a great movie, which, and that's the disappointment. It should have been a great movie, and it could have been. But it's a good movie. It's a fun movie. Go see it. But it will be even better when the special edition comes out.
Now, there's some other Justice League news that came out this week.
There is indeed.
That I'm not terribly thrilled with. One being the continued rumor of Ben Affleck leaving.
Yep.
Which I'm not a fan of. But there was an internet poll done. I want to get your opinion on this, of who should replace him. And the consensus in this poll was that it should be Carl Urban.
I think Carl,
but yeah, okay, I can see it. Do you think that would work?
Oh, I totally think Carl Urban would be excellent. I was just talking with my kids last night because it was my birthday.
Yes.
And we were talking about Thor Ragnarok, which we spoke about last week.
Right.
And how Carl Urban was sadly wasted in that film. That's one of the few flaws in that movie to me, because he's excellent. He's terrific as Bones in the new Star Trek. I mean, he's amazing as Bones on that. He's also excellent in Dredd. And if you haven't seen Dredd, oh my gosh, you need to see Dredd.
I liked him in Red, if you just drop the dur part.
he's very, very good. He would be an excellent Batman. That being said, I don't want Affleck to leave because I want Affleck to... I like the way Affleck is playing this. Although, he looks really chunky. And I don't mean fat. He's just enormous.
Yeah.
And it seems like it looks like he's gained another 15 pounds of muscle in this one from the previous movie. It's like... Jeez. I know, it's just...
Because he needed it. No.
Yeah, But it fits. It's the older Batman, and that's... I get that. It fits. I'm not complaining, but it's just... Dude, what are you... It's probably just the suit, actually. I hope it's just the suit, because my God.
I think it's just the suit.
He must be working out 10 hours a day and consuming 50,000 calories otherwise, because... Christ, he's huge. Anyway, hopefully it's the suit. Back to Urban. Yeah, Carl, I think Urban would be great. I like that.
The thing was, Carl Urban, I thought, was a great idea. And then they announced, damn them, that if Affleck leaves, Matt Reeves, who is the guy who's making the Batman movie, that he wants the replacement to be, you want to guess, or do you want me to just go ahead and spoil this for everyone?
Ryan Gosling.
That's not too far off. Jake Gyllenhaal. And right now, the similarities between Jake Gyllenhaal and Ben Affleck would be the I'm not filming right now beard. Beyond that.
Yeah.
Well,
even with Carl Urban, here's a question.
Yes.
The Batman movie, is it going to be the Batman that's currently running around, the Affleck character who's been at it for 20 years, or are they rebooting and going back to...
They haven't said. They did
say
exactly.
That
they're kind of splitting off the whole coherent DC universe thing.
Right.
So they could do that?
I hope they're not rebooting entirely and going all the way back to the beginning of Batman again. Please, let's not do that. But I also kind of would... I either want them to go full bore and go old man Batman and just run with it, or just slide back into 15 years in his past from the current Batman that's in Justice League. I would like either way. Jake obviously doesn't fit the older experience, no. 20 years running around as Batman. Urban could do it, but even he, I think, would be better for just Batman in the prime of his career, whatever. I can see Gyllenhaal doing it. If you've seen him in some of his darker stuff, like Nightcrawler, is like, oh, he can totally pull off the weird, intense Batman. I'd rather see Urban, personally. But
so would I.
Gyllenhaal can do it. But again, it depends on which Batman we're getting. Because compared to Affleck, there's... Right, the beard. The three-day growth is the only similarity. So it depends on what Batman they're doing. Hopefully not the George Clooney Batman.
Oh, gee, look, I've got the Batman credit card. Oy,
I love Clooney, but man, that was just... Talk about a train wreck. That was god-awful. That almost makes me want to see Batman v Superman again.
Okay, if you had to watch either of those movies, which one would you watch again? Between Clooney Bat and...
Boy.
Clooney Bat. No, Bat v Superman.
And it's a tough one. But see, you get to have all the most terrible jokes that Arnie ever spoke in a film, I think. And it's full of them, so... Yeah.
Consider that to be a good thing?
Yeah, it's more entertaining. All right. And you get to see that Batman's cowl is actually mobile because Clooney does that head turn thing.
Ah.
So right. that he likes to do, so...
Other Justice League news that came out this week, technically not specifically for Justice League, but Wonder Woman 2. Gal Gadot, I've done Gal Gadot for a couple years now until she said, no, the T is not silent. And everyone went, really? The producer of the first one was Brett Ratner, who has been, guess what? There are sexual assault allegations against him now.
Lots of
them. So Gal Gadot has said, if he's doing this, I'm not going to be Wonder Woman. Which would be a hideous mistake at this point to get rid of her. So,
yeah, let me just jump in and then
go ahead.
At this point, there are two people that are critical to that franchise. Brett Ratner ain't one of them.
Nope.
Patty Jenkins, the director, you got to have her, and they've got her.
Yeah.
And Gal Gadot. You got to have her. Obviously, down the road, of course, you could replace the actress playing Wonder Woman because we know they will. But not right now. You can't do it.
No.
There's lots of money. Brett Ratner is a wallet. That's all he is. They can find another wallet. Even if it was just something personal, even if it wasn't sexual assault, you know, if she just said, you know what? I don't like him. He smokes when he comes on set. That bothers me. We should get rid of him. Well, star power is a true living thing. And he would have to be gone. If it was just for something ridiculous, he would have to be gone. But for what he has allegedly done, yeah. This can't even be a decision. This is just an automatic sign off. Okay. That's it. Done. You know, regardless of how many millions it costs to buy out of the contract, they just can't. Well, if they can prove allegations, then they can get out of paying money. If they have to pay, who cares if they have to pay $50 million? You think you're not going to get it back opening weekend? Yeah, he's out.
Get it back opening weekend because you got rid of him.
Yeah, good point. So it's not a done deal, but that's as close to a done deal as there possibly could be. Look what happened to Weinstein. Is Rip Ratner is nothing compared to what Weinstein.
That's true.
The power. So yeah, he's toast. And again, if he's done a third of the things which he's alleged to have done, he should be toast.
Yeah. Other Wonder Woman news this week that kind of snuck in. It wasn't really news. It was just a really, you put it there. From the DC TV universe, where we've already got some Justice League tie-ins. In the Supergirl series, there is a Superman that pops up quite a bit in season two. In Arrow recently, Oliver Queen mentioned, what, you think I'm the Arrow? No, it's another rich guy. I heard Bruce Wayne was in from Gotham running around with a mask, and everyone kind of went, you mentioned Bruce Wayne? Yeah, Batman? This week on Legends of Tomorrow, because they had a female character they needed to drop off somewhere where she wouldn't be bothered by men. I'm not going to tell you who if you happen to watch the series and don't want it to be spoiled. I'll spoil this bit for you. They drop her off on Themyscira.
Nice.
So there could be a Wonder Woman showing up sometime on the DC TV universe along with a Batman, which I think could be interesting.
That'd be very interesting.
You know, no casting news yet. But, and speaking of comic books on TV, there was a comic book series that came out recently that was panned. Nobody seemed to like it because it was originally advertised as, look at this big movie where we're releasing an IMAX. And they released a TV pilot on IMAX, and that didn't work.
Imagine that.
Go figure. However, the Inhumans, who were already a very little known, even among comic book people, group of characters. I finished watching that series yesterday, and I realized it's been canceled already. There will not be a season two. And they did wrap it up after the whopping 8 episodes. But this occurred to me that we may see them again in several other places, because this series ended up being actually pretty good.
Really? Well, I'll have to finish watching it.
It started off kind of wonky and everything.
It did.
But it was a TV pilot. Of course it starts off a bit weird. Should it have started off on the big screen? No, of course not. That's a marketing gaffe. Don't hold that against the series. Because it wasn't a bad series. You end up really liking some of the, especially Karnak.
Karnak I like.
At no point in the series do you not like Karnak. Medusa got better as the series went along, even without the hair.
That's good.
That's not a spoiler at this point.
No, it's not.
Black Bolt will speak again.
Ooh.
And if you don't know the character of Black Bolt, he has a let's see how to say this. He has a very impressive sonic scream that he has absolutely no control over. Therefore, he does not talk ever for fear of making people explode.
It's like Black Canary amped up
a lot.
Crank to 11.
Oh, 1100.
He can't control it unlike at all. Black Canary. So, yeah.
And that's okay. You will like a lot of the characters. Crystal, I thought, was annoying, but we'll get over that. There's always got to be at least one annoying character, I think, in every series.
Yeah,
and we happen to know who it is here. It was better than Iron Fist. Click.
That's nice.
We could bring this back on Netflix, because it was just about as good and just about as quality as a Netflix TV series. It wasn't as violent as we get the Netflix series. And there were also a couple other things that will link it back into the cinematic universe. Because they hinted at the origins of the Inhumans, which come from the Kree Empire. Oh, gee, could that be a hint that the Captain Marvel movie
could be
linked into this?
Hello, Carol Danvers.
Marvel Avengers 4, when we start going cosmic and getting the whole intergalactic Marvel thing going. You kind of have to bring the Inhumans in on that, and they've established them a bit. They are that would be a spoiler. I can't tell you that bit.
Yeah, don't tell us that bit.
But it ended up being a decent series, and I would like more.
Well, now I'll have to finish watching it. The whole tie-in with IMAX was, like you said, that was critically flawed. The reason they went for it is to get more money to make a better series, but they didn't get enough money to actually make an IMAX-worthy effort, which this doesn't make any sense at all. So it would have been... They should have done this a different way, but for a TV show.
It was supposed to be one of the movies that came out next year, but they reacquired the rights to Spider-Man, and someone's got to get bumped. It's going to be the Inhumans.
It is going to be the Inhumans, which is unfortunate for the Inhumans that it went to a TV budget. One thing is it won't be going to Netflix because Disney's starting their own streaming service, and the Netflix series won't be on Netflix, which is sad. And it's like you mentioned last week, it'll be interesting to see how much of those shows did Netflix own, if any, et cetera, et cetera. So I can't imagine Disney's just going to abandon those because they've done so well. So I'm sure regardless, it might be a while because their focus is going to be on their Star Wars TV show. But I can't imagine they would just dump it. So I'm sure we will see the TV version, the small screen, let's put it that way.
Right.
The smaller screen version of Daredevil and the rest of the Defenders in the future. And hopefully the Inhumans. That would be nice, too. And if they have to reboot it, I don't think anyone would cry about recasting. If they have to wind up doing that because of...
Because it's 20 years later.
God, it better not be 20 years later. That's sad.
That would be bad.
Yeah. I was disappointed that the Inhumans wound up on the smaller screen. I was looking forward to a big screen version, but you know, at least we got something.
We also got a new Netflix Marvel series.
We did.
Started Friday, not at a theater near you, in your living room. The Punisher series. I'll admit, I have not seen as much of it as I would like because my wife realized that you can stream Will and Grace on Hulu.
That's kind of a different...
Guess where I didn't entirely want to go this weekend, but...
What are the options? We can watch Will and Grace or The Punisher. I don't know. What am I in the mood for? Boy, there's never been a more...
She's still getting over her surgery on her wrist thing. I let her do it.
You're being the good hubby, as you should.
I am, damn it. So, Punisher, how far? I know you've gotten into the series already.
Four. I've only seen four shows so far.
Well,
I mean, it's 13 episodes. I've had since Friday. My guy, I should have seen the whole thing twice by now.
You should have.
I should have. It certainly would not have been taking one for the fans. So far, it's excellent. The first episode to me was a little bit slower, as a lot of the Netflix Marvel episodes seem to be. The pacing seems to be a little short. But, which is kind of odd because they've already started this character. They didn't really need to go that route. It's an entirely different storyline from when he was guesting on Daredevil, which is good. I think that's absolutely fine. But is absolutely still the same universe without divulging who. One of the supporting characters from the Defenders universe does play an important role in Punisher, so I'll just leave it at that. The character of Micro is quite different from the movie portrayal. If you remember I can't remember which one he was in. Punisher Warzone or Punisher?
I want to say Warzone.
Yeah, I think he's in Punisher Warzone. Anyway, Micro is a much more fully fleshed character, much more interesting character than he was in Warzone flick. John Bernthal is cut to the chase. I mean, I really liked Punisher Warzone, but Bernthal is the Punisher. He's excellent. He's excellent in this, and you get a little more background on who he is, why he became who he is. He shows some vulnerability, which is like, with Punisher, vulnerable? That makes no sense. It's like, yeah, but it actually makes him human, as opposed to just this killing machine. And he is definitely a killing machine. There are at least two fight sequences in this that make the best fight sequences in any of the previous Marvel Netflix things pale by comparison. And but with guns and lots of blood, and talk about violence. Yeah, Will and Grace, this is not quite the same level of violence as Punisher. So if you value your kids' mental health, you consider their age before you let them watch The Punisher, because, man, this is an incredibly violent show. And makes perfect sense that they pushed back the premiere after certain real-world events. It was the right thing to do, definitely. But some of these sequences, I mean, they're so well choreographed. As again, it's like the best fight sequences, for instance, from Daredevil, where it's almost like this ballet of combat. Except in Daredevil, he's just beating people up, and in Punisher, he's kneecapping them and blowing their heads off, literally. But it's just so over the top. It's almost it's almost like watching a John Woo film sequence, which is like the ultimate of action sequences. I mean, really, really, really good show. And again, there's a lot of depth to the characters. There's a lot going on in the plot as characters develop. All the supporting characters are really, really good. It takes a while for them to even reveal the big bad, which is nice.
That's a good thing.
That is a good thing. And actually, I can't say for sure that this character is the big bad, because I'm only four episodes in. Could be that he's just the next step up, because the person you think is the big bad early on turns not to be. As the Marvel Defenders series go, sometimes the big bad changes, which is fine, because that's
Luke Cage.
Exactly. So, Excellent. Excellent show. And again, Barenthal, I'm so happy for the guy because he was really, really good in Walking Dead. And as happens with many characters, he did not last more than a few series. So, man, he's found a home with this. I would love, and it goes back to when you were talking about the DC universes, and maybe they'll bring in Batman. I would hope, well, Batman doesn't matter because who knows who's going to be playing Batman. But I would hope, like, if they show Wonder Woman, that it's just a cameo and it's Gal Gadot. I mean, why not? I mean, give her just right into the contract for Wonder Woman 2. By the way, while you're filming this, we're going to film 5 scenes and we're going to put them in a TV show, but it's part of this contract.
Since you're already dressed.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, tie the worlds in together, and I would hope they would do the same thing. Don't recast Daredevil when he eventually winds up on the big screen. You've got the perfect guy. Don't recast Luke Cage. Iron Fist, okay, I'm not going to cry about that one if that happens. But Punisher popping up in a Spider-Man movie would be a beautiful thing because there's a lot of history with those characters.
That's where he first appeared.
Exactly. As a bad guy. And Barenthal deserves that. As Charlie Cox deserves it. I mean, it would be terrific. So I would really like to see both of those universes just, okay, have the film stars pop in. Just have them do cameos because the ratings will go through the roof when people find out. And with the DVR, they don't really rate DVR viewings. But you know what I'm saying is people will watch those things endlessly. Oh, my God, look, I can't believe they did this.
Yeah.
It's because the people portraying these characters on TV are doing an excellent job. They deserve, and obviously they didn't go that route with Flash because they've already changed that. But still, you know, it's just, they're doing great. There's no reason they can't be on the big screen too.
No. Although we are getting some weird things coming to the big screen.
Yes, we are.
Marvel announced that they're going to do 2 more, not mainstream, but spin-off movies. Spider-Man is getting a spin-off movie with Morbius, the vampire from the Marvel Universe series.
And the only thing is Blade involved?
Probably not.
Yeah, because I really don't get that.
No, it those were characters that, you know, go together. But, you know, I don't think Sony owns the right, or does Sony own the right to Blade? I've forgotten.
I have no idea who owns the rights to Blades anymore. And if it's 20th Century Fox, that might not matter soon, and we'll talk about that in a while.
We'll get to that in a minute. But speaking of them, there's an X-Men spinoff. They're supposedly making a movie about the character Multiple Man, who is one of my favorite characters. I love the idea, the concept of Multiple Man, a character named Jamie Madrox. If you hit him, or if any kind of jarring thing happens to him, he multiplies. Just pop, there's a second one. Or, you know, and it can be something as simple as a hearty handshake. Hi, how you doing? And you grasp hands, and all of a sudden, there's 2 of him. And you go, ooh, how did that happen? Oh, I'm a mutant, it's a thing. And in the books, he became a private detective, which ended up being a really good series. So could this be an X-Men movie I like? No, because they're talking about having him cast having him played by James Franco. And I kind of went, no, that means you're going to turn it into a stupid comedy. And I realize there can be stupid comedy things that go along with him. I have one that I wrote in my head many, many years ago that would have been wonderful to throw into an X-Men movie as a sidebar thing. They would turn that scene into the entire movie. I don't want to see that.
He's also done 127 hours, so
that's true.
Doesn't have to be a comedy, but I mean, that's just kind of random to me that James Franco, unless he really likes the character, you know, unless he's like involved in it, like Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool.
That's a possibility, I suppose,
but
I'm not holding my breath.
It just doesn't really make sense to me. It's like, why go there? Because James Franco carries baggage. Exactly what you're talking about. People would maybe have some expectations, and that would not be the path to take if that's what they were thinking.
Well, something else I don't get is Amazon. And we said that this was possibly coming a couple weeks ago. Amazon announced this week, yes, they are in fact making a multiple season adaptation of The Lord of the Rings. which inspired in me a reboot of my own, because once they announced that they were going to do this multiple season adaptation, I saw in the internet comments that which would take the heart of me. A day has come when we forsake our a day will come when we forsake our characters and break the bonds of brand loyalty, but it is not this day. An hour of orcs and dwarven shields when the age of reboots comes crashing down, but it is not this day. This day, we reboot, recreating all you hold on this silver screen, dear. I bid you stand by your old beloved characters and watch new and inept directors twist and distort all your favorite stories. Are you with me, Todd? The answer is no. Please don't be with me, because I don't want to be with me on this either.
You don't want these lovely new shows?
No, don't do that. You just finished something that...
Right.
Okay, maybe The Hobbit, fine. You know, make it more into the just the one, The Hobbit story, and be done with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with them doing... And they could do... I can see a 13-episode version of The Hobbit.
That would be fine.
Maybe really more 8, because it's not even long enough for 13. But don't remake The Hobbit film version, because that's not The Hobbit. Just remake the damn book.
Lord of the Rings, it didn't have Tom Bombadil. I care that much.
That's exactly what I was talking to my kids.
That's the only thing that was missing, and I didn't care that much.
That's what I think. It will be, the first season will be nothing but Tom Bombadil wandering around the meadows singing. These movies did come out quite some time ago. I get that. But it doesn't seem that way.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. They did that good a job.
I mean, the oldest of them came out in 2001. So I get it. It's been 15, 14 odd years. And in Hollywood, that's like 3 lifetimes. I mean, we should have rebooted this long ago. We should be in our 3rd reboot. But they're so well done, like you said, and they're constantly on. You know, they're constantly on one streaming service or another, or, and if they're not, they're on TNT all TNT weekend long.
Or TBS. Or,
yeah, I mean, yeah. So they're always around, and it makes zero sense to, you know, why put your stamp on this? No, I mean, Hollywood was smart enough not to even attempt to redo, Casablanca for about 50 or 60 years, and then the new thing was promptly forgotten, rightly so.
Yes.
You reboot, and we've talked about this before. If you're going to reboot something or redo something that missed out the first time.
Yeah.
But Lord of the Rings, there's some flaws here and there, but basically there's no way you're going to do a better version of it. So why are you trying?
Someone who doesn't like this idea, and I'll agree with them. Someone who didn't like the Peter Jackson version, which I thought was very weird. Christopher Tolkien, J.R.R.'s son, who this week retired from running the Tolkien estate at the very early age of 93.
I was going to say, he's got to have some years on him.
He said he didn't really care for the theatrical version. And as much as I understand that, you know, that's your dad's thing, I think you're wrong. I think they did a really good job on The Lord of the Rings. The Hobbit was longer than it should have been. But even that I thought was good. Just very odd thing to come out. The same week that they announced the Amazon thing, that Christopher Tolkien pops up and goes, no, I'm leaving. Which maybe that's what cleared the way for it.
Could be. there's no need for it.
There isn't.
One of the major complaints when people do complain about the movies, especially the extended editions, is how long they are, because they put in so much material. It's like, really, like you said, they didn't really cover Tom Bombadil. But other than that, what is there to cover? More songs? I mean,
I think they did enough of the songs. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Really, other than the fact that they must have gotten a bargain on the rights, because they'll get viewers, but it's just, it's just kind of bizarre. What an odd thing to commit to. Maybe because They felt there were no possibilities of sexual allegations coming up on the owners of the property. So, hey, here's a safe one. We won't have to can. So maybe that's why they went that route.
Wait till you hear what Treebeard did. No, just throwing that out. No, they, Amazon bought the rights to this. They're supposedly throwing $250 million a season at the series. So I guess there's money, but at the same time, maybe they're reusing the old set because it's still there. For Hobbiton. So just, you know, kind of like we're making a movie about Disneyland. Let's build a set. No, we don't need to. It's over there. Let's go. Possibly. I don't know. But speaking of buying things, last week it was Disney who was wanting to buy 20th Century Fox. And that may or may not have fallen through because Comcast popped up and said they were interested, but that may or may not have fallen through. And now Sony has popped up and said, hey, we'd like to buy 20th Century Fox, and that may or may not have fallen through. It looks like 20th Century Fox is going to be sold to somebody. Out of those three, I don't necessarily want it to be Comcast.
No.
Because they don't own the rights to any other Marvel properties.
Right.
And that's all I'm thinking of in this particular merger. Sony would mean we could get a Spider-Man X-Men crossover. But I want it to be Disney just because we can finally get the Fantastic Four into the cosmic version of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Which is where the Fantastic Four belongs, obviously. Yeah, I would prefer to see Disney, although it almost makes Disney a little too powerful. But yeah. If Sony buys them, that's okay. But ideally...
Then they can work out a deal still. They did with Spider-Man.
Exactly. Ideally, Disney and Sony go into partnership and do it.
That would work.
And they do a fitty-fitty split and just leave the people who are in Fox intact and they're running the show. And well, actually, whoever greenlit Deadpool, that person gets to run the show. That's who should be running the show, regardless of whether you enjoy it or not, made a lot of money. So there you go.
Oh, not arguing that.
So
I think even my cut version of the movie would work.
Oh, totally. But the 43 minute cut of Deadpool.
I didn't care for the background scenes and just cut it down into one massive action sequence. And that worked for me.
But not Comcast. We don't want Comcast doing that.
No, I can't see that.
Agreed.
Speaking of seeing things, we mentioned some trailers that came out this week and last week.
We did.
Thought we'd hit those real quick. You saw one called I, Tonya.
I did.
Which I'll admit I'd forgotten about. Because Tonya Harding just doesn't come to my head readily as much as she used to.
But the Winter Olympics are coming up. And did Tonya Harding come into your head frequently, sir? Is that the implication? No.
Actually, Tonya Harding was forced into my head because she just never went away.
No, she didn't.
As much as I, you know, after a while, oh God, what'd she do this time? Now she's doing porn on the Jerry Springer show. What? No, just off, away with you. So how's the trailer look? Does it look better than her porn on whatever show that was?
Well, I haven't seen her porn on that show, so I can't say, can't speak to that, okay. Can't make that comparison. So thanks for trying to trick me there, sir.
Well,
but I really want to say, yeah, it's much better.
Less, by default.
Less panting. It looks really good. Looks really, I mean, it's a fascinating story. Just the concept, because it's certainly, it doesn't even seem real now. It didn't seem real at all then. It's like, wait, what? What happened? The person who, the silver medalist attacked the gold, the person who was going to be the gold medalist, what? How?
Yeah. So, with a crowbar or a screwdriver.
Yeah. And Margot Robbie, she's excellent, and she's going to be excellent in this. And it's interesting. They de-glammed her to some extent. Not that Tonya Harding is unattractive. Margot Robbie is more attractive. And so they did a little bit of makeup work, whatever, so... Looks a little more like Tonya. Again, Tonya, if you still have your crowbar, I'm not making judgments here. I'm just making an observation. It looks like it'll be really entertaining, very interesting, because And for a lot of people, this will be a new story, and they'll hear later, it's like, wait a minute, this was real? This is like the opposite of Blair Witch? It's like, yeah, this actually did happen. This is not a fictional tale. Nope. And we'll see how far they go off the path of reality, but the thing, they don't have to at all. That's what's so crazy about it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It seems really very strange, because that's a very interesting character, and hopefully Tanya is getting no money out of it, and I'm sure she's getting a lot, but
I'm sure she is
for selling her story, because she deserves no money, because you shouldn't make money off in attacking somebody. But anyway,
no,
looks like a good flick.
Now, you mentioned this one last week because weren't really sure what to make of it at the time. I want to know what you make of Roman J. Israel Esquire, which has just got to be the weirdest name for a movie I've heard in a while.
It's so weird. And you said, well, maybe because it's so odd, maybe it will work, because people will think of...
People will go, what the hell?
Yeah,
and wander into a theater.
They'll walk up to the movie theater and it's like, I know, it's some movie with some guy's weird name, and it'll be the only title up there. And they'll think, okay, I'll go. Unless they shorten it to Israel and they think it's a documentary, and then they won't go. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Rome isn't in Israel. What the hell?
It looks, man, the trailers look awesome. Denzel Washington is fantastic. If anything that happens in award ceremonies is a crime, and of course it's not, but if there ever has been a crime, it's that he didn't win Best Actor for Fences, because holy crap, he's incredible in that. He looks awesome in this too. And he probably won't win the Oscar for it either, because apparently now they hate Denzel. They used to love him, now they hate him. It just looks great. Basically, he's an activist lawyer who gets in too deep into something. And he's a bit of a hustler, like a major hustler. And he's not exactly a nice person. I mean, it's like, oh my God, this is like the holy trinity of great character traits. So, if not for real people, but you know, yeah, for film characters. And it's, I am so looking forward to this movie. I don't care what they call it. Washington looks incredible in this. And the good thing about when you see a trailer with him, you know it's better. Because he's such an amazing actor. So, cannot wait for that movie.
Well, another one I think you're going to have trouble waiting for this one. Because you've mentioned it several times already in the show. There's a new trailer for Deadpool 2. Kind of. It was very strange. It was Deadpool dressed up as Bob Ross. If you happen to remember Bob Ross, he's the guy on PBS who used to paint happy little trees. Now it's Deadpool dressed up as Bob Ross painting happy little guns. And stuff like that. It was just a parody of Bob Ross done by Deadpool, interspersed with very seizure-inducing clips, because it was cut that way, of Deadpool 2. It even included credits for the Bob Ross show, including audio by Ted E. Ruxpin. It's if you saw the first Deadpool, you know what? There's more. Here it comes.
Yeah. In,
what is it? February?
Same time the last one came out. In time for Valentine's Day, because it is a love story. As Deadpool tells you in the film... This is a love story. This is a romance. I really, really enjoyed the first Deadpool movie, and I'm looking forward to this one. But, I mean, everyone knew this was coming, so this is not like, oh, squee to me. I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm happy when it comes out. That's not like I can't wait for it, just because I know it's there. It's like it's in my back pocket. So when it comes out, it'll be there. So stuff like Roman J. Israel Esquire is more like, oh, my God, I never conceived of this project, so this is going to be like an extra bonus. Deadpool 2 is like, that's like mom and you've been asking mom and dad for a new bike for Christmas since July, and you know it's going to be there Christmas Day, so it's like, you know, it'll be there. It's cool. Of course, you have to have already had a bike. That's the difference. If I hadn't had a bike first, then it's like the first Deadpool movie, so that's a different thing. This is just the replacement of the bike. This is the shinier, newer bike that has a guy named Cable riding it and kicks you in the head if you try to ride it, so that's not really cool, actually, now I think about it. Damn.
Yeah. Oh, well. Other trailers that came out, and this one, I'll admit, it threw me off, because when I first heard they were making a movie about a mid-80s video game, about really big monster King Kong-sized apes and Godzilla-sized reptiles beating the crap out of a city, I would have thought that sounds like a really hideous idea to turn into a full-length movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it matters that they put The Rock in it. What I think is going to matter is I saw this trailer and went, hang on a minute. Mm-hmm. They took what few story elements were in the video game,
mm-hmm.
put them in this movie, and it actually looks like a good and fun disaster film.
It does, doesn't it?
Which is terrifying.
It does.
How the hell can you turn this video game, which was a fun button-mashing video game, into a movie? Because it doesn't seem like you'd be able... I think this might be one of the few good video game movies.
It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, you can't ask for more than that from a movie based on a video game.
Exactly.
For the most part. It depends on the video game.
Well, yeah.
Some video games have some depth. But Rampage, not so much.
Rampage was not a depth game.
No, not really.
I've got my joystick and press the buttons.
But what an awesome game that is. Such a fun game, still.
It was fun.
This actually looks like a very entertaining movie. It really does. There's character development. What? For the ape. Not so much for anybody else, apparently. But so that's cool. It has a lot of the elements of King Kong, which they're borrowing from, which is smart, because he should. Or maybe closer to Mighty Joe Young, which would be more accurate. That's actually much more accurate. That's an excellent movie, Mighty Joe Young, from back in the day. Anyway, yeah, it does look like a lot of fun compared to what I expected, which, like you said, is like, seriously, that sounds awful.
It sounds like a train wreck.
It does.
You know what?
This looks really good.
It's not looking like it.
Now, literally, there probably will be a train wreck in it. But,
well, yeah, because that was one of the things, is you can stand on one end of the screen with one character and on the other end of the screen with another character and have them punch a train back and forth to each other.
Exactly. So hopefully they do that. I can't believe that they would miss out on that. And the characters, all three characters are in there, the beloved characters. And I love the reveal at the very end of the trailer, because you're thinking, hey, wait a minute, where's the – I was like, oh, there it is. So, yeah, it looks really fun. The only thing that scares me, it's from the people who brought you San Andreas, which –
uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. But it's just a lot of the same footage, because they could use the exact same footage, because I don't think anybody watched it. And now they just digitally insert the monsters. And it's like, oh, look, we saved a lot of money on the budget. So it looks really
fun. Like when they used
really
the Klingon Bird of Prey that blew up in three consecutive Star Trek movies.
Yeah, well, they had more than one, maybe.
No, they just reused the footage. They flipped it. You think I'm kidding?
No, I don't think you're kidding. I'm just laughing. That's
sad.
That's creative. That's saving money, so you can afford to pay guest stars, incredible guest stars.
It's a shame they didn't in Generations. Anyway.
But Rampage looks fun. It really does.
Rampage looks good. The other trailer that came out is one that we weren't expecting to come out, because they announced that it would be coming out in June. And thankfully, the article I read was misdone. Because it's not the trailers coming out in June. The movie is coming out in June. The trailer, which is kind of it's a teaser, came out yesterday. Incredibles 2, which is the only Pixar movie I've been wanting a sequel to. And it's picking up right where the previous one left off, with the Underminer.
Yep.
Who... would be amusing anyway. The teaser is very cute, ending up with Mr. Incredible's hair looking like was it Hawk or Animal from the Legion of Doom that had the inverted mohawk?
Hawk had the inverted mohawk.
I think it was Hawk. Yeah.
He looks like Mr. T.
Backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, because he had two mohawks, Mr. Capital T.
There you go.
I guess I don't know.
That would be Mr. Pie.
Ah, there we are.
Anyway,
Incredibles 2. I'm really looking forward to this movie.
I am too. The teaser is didn't really do anything for me except establish, okay, this is where they are in the timeline. I mean, it's cute.
Yeah.
But it's just a teaser. All it is just to say, hey, guess what's coming. So I wasn't blown away by the teaser, but I don't think you're supposed to be.
No,
it's just like,
I don't think so.
It gives you a vague idea, because it's a teaser. of what's going to happen. And but the news is awesome because that movie is so, as we've said before, that is the Fantastic Four movie that we all deserved and never got, but except we got it and they're just called The Incredibles instead. Because man, that movie is so good. The Incredibles 2 is excellent. Excellent news. Cannot wait. And Brad Bird's doing it again. So
yes.
Also fantastic news that he's still attached.
No, actually, someone who isn't attached to something. That's a brilliant segue. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to call this the last story of the show because I didn't realize how long we've been going. There's a talk of Disney doing yet another live-action version of one of their animated classics. This time it would be Pinocchio. Or Pinocchio, as my daughter calls it. Because there's an H in it, and that's how you pronounce it. Okay, good. Sam Mendes was supposedly directing it, but he has dropped out. Now, when this article came out that said Sam Mendes isn't doing it anymore, they also mentioned a few other things. Namely, that Disney is not the only person doing a live-action Pinocchio movie. There's apparently three in development. One is the Disney. One is one that Robert Downey Jr. is doing for Warner Brothers.
Interesting.
And one, Guillermo del Toro is doing one for no one in particular yet.
Wow.
I didn't care for Pinocchio. I know a lot of people did, and that, you know, fine. Mm-hmm. But three of them at once. Is this kind of like when they did, Armageddon and Deep Impact and whatever the other asteroid movie was at the same time?
Yeah.
Crimson Tide, Hunt for Red October, and Oh Dear, We Sunk the Boat, you know, or.
Yeah, Hollywood loves this. Is, you know, some word leaks out that someone's doing something. It's like, and the other studios jump on. And sometimes the film that the studio that jumped on later creates a better movie, but okay. So Bob and Guillermo need to talk and they need to just combine efforts and make the movie together. That would be fun.
That would work.
Instead of, it might not work, but you know, cause I'm not,
that'd be interesting.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the Pinocchio story either, really, but Robert Downey Jr. fascinates me in anything. Guillermo del Toro does awesome work. And then with a Disney thing at the same time, one of these three studios is going to drop out of the running because that's what happens a lot of the times. And we know it's not going to be Disney. Interesting. Funny that Mr. Downey is going to Warner's. He's going to the enemy camp after all these years with Disney.
Well, it'll have to be after he finished Iron Man in Avengers 4.
It would have to be. Really interested in the Guillermo del Toro version. That would be quite fascinating. I think there might be some kind of horrific elements tied into it, which makes it interesting. Because, I mean, there's kind of a...
Well, there'd also be some horrific elephants, because it's... no, that would be Dumbo.
That would be Dumbo. The concept of this puppet, a wooden puppet that comes to life and wants to become a real boy. I mean, there's some really kind of terrifying elements to this fantasy.
Are they still making Chucky movies? Sorry.
Sadly, they are. Yeah. That'd be interesting to see who comes out of that.
And then you see we'll have the inevitable Pinocchio versus Chucky movie.
Yeah.
And
that makes me sad.
Which is a good place to end the show, I think. Not with you being sad. It's your birthday. You're supposed to be happy.
No, I'm just going to be sad thinking about Chucky versus Pinocchio now. Especially since Disney's doing a live action. And that's the other thing, too. Of course, it's a live action version. So that could be potentially three live action Pinocchio films. How bizarre would that be?
Pinocchio.
That
Pinocchio, which sounds like a wine.
It does sound like a wine. Sounds like
glass of Pinocchio.
I would like a glass of Pinocchio, please. And which reminds me, one more thing.
Oh, yes. Pinocchio. Would that be a white wine? That would be a pink wine, so it would go with beef.
I wonder.
I'm just kind of throwing that out there while he looks up.
I wonder if Roberto Benigni is involved with any of those, because this he's supposedly been wanting to be involved in Pinocchio, a live action version, for decades.
True.
The actor from Life is Beautiful. And a lot more than that, but that's where, if people have heard of him, that's where they'll have heard of him from. That would be kind of a crime if he is not involved. Three Pinocchio movies coming out, and he is not involved in any of them. So, you know, hopefully he has a taste of one of these, because that would be sad. That would make me cry for him. Life would not be beautiful.
Aww. But, you know, we'll live.
Yeah.
And we will be fine.
It does go on, as the show will next week.
Yes.
Most likely.
Unless there's a Thanksgiving thing in the way.
We'll
be fine.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah. We'll see you next week, if not the week after.
Goodbye.
Oh, just subscribe to the show on YouTube or iTunes or something, and you'll know when we're here.
You will.
We're just not here right now anymore. Good night, everybody.
Ariel! Oompa! Ride!
Do you think they will let me live in Montana?
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.